Hey, I am Scott, and I'm an American in Bangkok. Actually, I am on Tanon Prasut Manukich in a taxi, taking Alex to his Marines program. And, you know, more and more I have found that we're having difficulties in our area getting motorcycles and taxis to take us where we want to go. And it's not always possible for us to get grab taxis. You know, in the morning, I never know, you know, Alex is sometimes a little slow, or maybe he's got a lot of little things to do, and I can't always keep up with, you know, where he is in the morning. And I will tell him, okay, we're going to leave between 6:15 and 6:30. Usually just walk out in front of the house, and if there's a taxi, we take it. If there's not, we walk down to the end of the street, and we get a taxi that way. Now, I guess I could call a grab taxi, but, you know, with the grab taxi, you never know where they are. Sometimes they're 2 minutes away, and sometimes they're 15 minutes away. So we really like to leave early, because that way we know there's no chance of him being late, and he can't be late. So one option that we have is, and I probably will start doing this, is that I can set up a grab taxi a day or two in advance so that we can have a taxi scheduled. They'll come and they'll pick us up, and we don't have to worry about getting a taxi. So the motorcycle drivers don't really want to go to the mall very much anymore, because a lot of the drivers are unregistered, which doesn't make me feel very good, because let's say that I did get into an accident and I got put in the hospital because this guy is driving too fast or hits a car or something like that. If he doesn't have any insurance and he's not registered, guess what that means? That means that my insurance is going to have to pay, not his. And not only that, I mean, if something worse were to happen, then what? You know, but, you know, I can get around that because there are Songtao. I can get a taxi. If I really had to, I could walk there. Although in the heat, if it's hot, it's a little bit too far to walk, to go into the mall. If I was just going to the gym, that'd be a different story. But anyway, so we're standing out on the road, and there's four sets of people waiting for taxis. We're first. So a couple of taxis, they got their light on. They're available. They just drive by. They don't even stop. We're like, okay, whatever, you know. Okay, fine, let's just wait. We waited like 15 minutes. So finally two taxis come. One is coming from one direction. Another is coming from the other direction. And there's a lady standing next to us. The taxi that was going to make a U-turn was supposed to be ours. And a taxi that was coming from our side was supposed to be hers. So our taxi is going to make a U-turn. He decides it's too difficult to make a U-turn. There's too many cars. So he just keeps going straight. So he leaves us where we don't have a taxi. So the woman very kindly said, go ahead. You were here first. Please take the taxi. We said, okay, thank you very much. We get in the taxi. We drive down the street. The guy's got his music on fairly loud, which it's early in the morning. I don't really want to hear his music. If I did, I would ask him to turn the music on, which I don't. Second of all, I wanted to do a podcast. And it's not a big deal to ask the driver to turn the music down. In fact, out of all the times that I've ever asked, he's the only guy who ever gave me a hard time about it. Once in a while, you get a guy and he'll turn it down, and he won't turn it down very much. And you're like, a little bit more, please. Because especially if I'm making a phone call, I can't hear myself think. You know, so I tell the guy, I say, hey, could you please turn it down? He turns it down. I'm like, okay, it's perfectly fine. I'm getting ready to start the podcast. And he pulls over to the side of the road. And I'm thinking maybe he's got to take a piss. Maybe he's got to run in and get a Red Bull or something. No, he says, you need to get out. I said, we need to get out. Why? You had your red light on. You were available. We asked you to take us. We waited for taxis, and we wanted you to take us. What's the problem? I'm stressed out, so I really don't, I don't want to take you if I can't listen to my music. Okay, I understand where he's coming from, but guess what? I am the customer. And this is where I get really pissed off, because I once heard Donald Trump, of all people, I think it was him, that said, if you have a car and you know that if you wash the car and give it a good waxing, and it might cost you, I don't know, let's say it costs you $100, but you're going to be able to sell the car for $500 more, would you do it? And the people that don't do it are pretty foolish, because they're throwing away money because they're too lazy to do a little bit of work. And so when you gotta, you know, I'm the passenger. So what you want to do is you want to keep the passenger happy. And if you keep the passenger happy, usually if I have a, you know, if I have a driver who is, seems to be nice, or he's, you know, he's friendly, or he's helpful or whatever, I will almost always give them a tip. Now, I don't always give them a huge tip, but I mean, like, you know, if it's a 90 baht fare, I may say, ah, here's 100 baht, just keep the 10 baht. You know, if the guy's a nice guy. Now, I don't have to give anything as a tip. Nobody does. So don't let anybody tell you, oh, you know, it's okay, I'll just give him 200 instead of 120. That's rubbish, because you're pissing away money. And while maybe some people have enough money where they can afford to do that, I don't. And, you know, I just think it's, what's fair is fair. So this guy drops us. I said to the guy, I said, listen, you know, you had the thing on, please just take us. No, I'm stressed out, I don't want to take you. I said, okay, I'm going to report you. So I took a photo of his little ID thing, you know, on the side of the taxi. And I have the app, the Department of Land and Transportation app, and they reported him. So now what that means is the guy's going to get one strike on his record. If he has two other strikes already, it means he's going to get his license to drive a taxi taken away from him. Now, I don't want to cause anybody any problems like that. I mean, I don't want to affect anybody's livelihood. But when it comes down to stuff like that, it's like, when are they going to learn? You know, and I got to say that I'd say 9 out of 10 drivers, maybe 19 out of 20 drivers they're fine. You know, sometimes they might talk a little too much, or they might smell, or, you know, something like that. But I can get over that. That's not a problem. But when they start going in the direction that they want, they don't follow your directions. You tell them, I want you to go this street, and then that street, and this street. Oh, no, I go another way. You know, when they start doing that kind of shit, or when they are like this guy was, where it was like, oh, you're making me turn my music down, I don't want to go. I know it's his taxi. But there, first of all, there is a new regulation in Thailand that the drivers are not supposed to be playing their music. And I'm sure that, you know, the thing is that all you got to do is if they have a fare, to turn the music down. They don't have to turn it off. Turn it down to where people can hear. And a lot of times the speakers are right in the back. So when they have it up, even like mid-level, it's a little bit too much. But when they have it up really loud, then it's way too much. So, anyway, so I reported the guy. And that's, you know, I really didn't want to do it. But, you know, sometimes you got to just stand up and do what you got to do. So, you know, that's why I did it. But not a great way to start today, unfortunately. Because, you know, I woke up, well, lately, I haven't been sleeping very well. But before I get into that, I want to just talk about the recent UFC. You know, it was with Conor McGregor and Eddie Alvarez in Madison Square Garden. And the show was pretty good. I was really looking forward to the Tyrone Woodley, Stephen Thompson fight, which turned out to be a very, very good fight. And I was actually disappointed in the Chris Weidman fought, what's that guy's name? Yoel Romero. And I was disappointed because Romero kind of like jumped up and was going to do a jumping knee. And it wasn't so much that he landed a good shot on Chris Weidman, but Chris Weidman went for a takedown and ducked right into it and just split his head wide open. And I was disappointed in the way that that ended. But and then the women, Joanna Jędrzejczyk or whatever her last name is, beat up on that Carolina, who, you know, let's face it, Joanna is not exactly the greatest looking thing. Not many female fighters are, but the Carolina, she's kind of cute, and you know, she put up a decent fight and even stunned Joanna. But that Joanna can fight, and it was a pretty good fight, you know. All in all, the card was very good. But when McGregor fought Alvarez, I was very surprised at how relaxed McGregor was. And I think that, you know, as a fighter, from what I know of fighters and from what I know of being in the ring, first of all, being relaxed is generally a very good thing. But, you know, it's great that you lean back and you make a guy miss all your punches. That's great when you do it. But sometimes there's the occasion where you lean back and you think you're doing everything great, and then you zig when you're supposed to zag, and you get caught with a big shot, and you get taken out. So I think that in his case, he's just so talented and so sharp and precise with his punches and his kicks even too. He was just in a completely different league than Eddie Alvarez, which says a whole lot. But I mean, you know, it was a great show, and I wish they did shows like that all the time. And I think the next big fight is, if you follow fights, is a Glory show with what's his name, Rico Verheyen and Bada Hari. And I personally think Bada Hari is going to win. I don't really like him very much. Rico Verheyen is Dutch, and I kind of root for the Dutch. I root for the Thais and the Dutch most of the time. And that's coming up. And then my buddy's son fought on the past Glory show. His name is Josh Jauncey. And he did very well, but he got knocked down in the second round, and he lost a majority decision? I don't know. He lost by 1 point. So, yeah, I think, you know what, it had to have been a majority, I'm trying to think of what it's called. Majority draw would have been two judges having it even, and then one gave it to the other guy. I forget the guy's name. But I think he lost. Oh, I think what it was he won on one card, and he lost on two cards, so he lost a split decision. We're getting ready to drop off Alex. So where are you going to get dropped off? Right here? And tell him to take me back. Okay. All right. Get off on this side. Don't get out on that side. All right. And remember how you want to run. Okay? All right. There goes my kid. He takes it very seriously, and he takes his Marine program very seriously, and today he has a test. You know, they check his knowledge of what being a Marine entails. They check his uniform. They check how he stands. They check his shoes. They even check how polished his belt is. You know, he's starting to shave now. So he's not a little boy anymore, and well, that's kind of exciting. It scares me, to put it mildly. You know, the little birds are almost ready to fly the coop. It won't be long, and I'm sure my wife is not looking forward to that. She's, yeah, I know she's not looking forward to that because she really enjoys having them around. But you know, this past month, you know, I gotta admit, I really have not been all that focused on my videos and my podcast. And you know, a month ago, a little bit more than a month ago, the king passed away, and everybody held their breath for at least. People are still holding their breath, but. A lot of people were holding their breath and wondering what's going to happen, and they're frightened and they're timid and they're scared and they're wondering, you know, well, what's next? For me, it just kind of was like a time just to reflect on, because just like most people in Thailand, he is the only king that they have ever known, or that I've ever known. And so I, you know, I think of all the times when I was standing in the movie theater and they play the national anthem, and all the times I've seen him with his Leica camera and all this other kind of stuff. And, you know, I really don't like it when I hear people, you know, saying bad things about him, just because most of the people, they don't, you know, if they're going to be in this country, then they don't have the right to say anything bad about him. That's just the way that it goes. It's their law, and that's the way that it goes. So, unless you feel like ending up in jail, then you do whatever you want. But that's just plain stupid. The month started out with that, and then, like I've talked about a little bit, my buddy had cancer. He had liver cancer, and I saw the quick demise of him, and. This month has changed me, because although I've seen some people die before and I've had people die that I've known, untimely deaths or from illnesses or just whatever. I mean, I had a guy that I used to train in kickboxing with, and he had just told me that he bought my book as a Christmas present, and then, like, I don't know, it must have been a week later he passed away, and I was like, oh man. But anyway, so, you know, my buddy had liver cancer, and then I saw him basically just deteriorate pretty rapidly, and that was pretty painful. But you know, I told myself, hey, I'll get over this. And and then my buddy, he's probably one of my best buddies, if not my best buddy here in Thailand. He had just flown home to go see his parents because they're getting old, and his father was ill with cancer. And the day after my friend passed away, I called him up and I was talking to him about it. I called him up to talk about it with him, and he said, my father passed away. And you know, that's a pretty momentous occasion. It's a milestone in a person's life, because it's like, you know, when you turn 16, you start driving. That's one milestone. Then when you graduate from high school or university, those are other milestones. And then, you know, you get your first job or whatever, you get your first promotion, and you get your first apartment or your first place to live. All these things are milestones in your life, and unfortunately, death is a part of that. And then 5 days ago, last Friday, I'm laying in bed with my wife. We're watching a movie or something. Just kind of halfway watching it, and we're just talking, and things are good, and we're happy, and you know, I'm trying to get over you know, what happened to my buddy Frank, and I'm all right, you know. And she gets a phone call, and she just breaks down. And my brother-in-law died. And, you know, I can't even... This is a guy who lived with us for 4 years. And we helped him so that he could go... We let him live with us so that he could go through university and get his degree. And, you know, I've known him since he was a little... Well, he was about the same age as Nicholas and Alex. I think he was 14. Now he's 31. And I think he was 13. And he was just a, you know, a chubby little teenager. And now he's a... you know, tall and kind of lanky, and, you know, he grew up, and he started speaking English, and, anyway, so, you know, he passed away, and so the whole family's going through with that, and for me to see my wife, who was just devastated by it, and, it's really painful, and then it's painful for me, you know, because he's helped take care of our kids, it's painful for my kids. And it's just, this has not been a very good month. It's not been a good month. And my head has not really been there. I'm trying to finish up my book. You know, I need to get it finished. I need to get the project finished. I need to get started on another project. I know what I have to do, but the way that this month has been, I've been just down in the dumps. I mean, I don't really want to say I'm depressed, because I know what's going on, but, you know, it's like I almost feel guilty if I start feeling happy. Because, you know, when you're mourning, and for me, it's like I'm mourning two people. And then, you know, I'm sad for my buddy, but okay, I can get over that, and I know he's going to be okay. His father lived a long life, and I know he'll be okay, but, you know, I feel bad for the guy. And, you know, it seems the older that you get, the more people start to drop off. And that's not a pleasant, for me, it's not a very pleasant thought. I'm starting to feel a little bit more normal, but like I said, this month has changed me. Between seeing my buddy deteriorate and then my brother-in-law passing away, it's made me value things a little bit more. And you know, one reason I haven't been going over these emails from people that are whining and crying about their women is because in the context of life, their problem with some slut is not a problem. It's a self-created problem. They made it a problem. And this is the thing. Your problems are generally only as big as you make them. If you are, you know, $500,000 debt, you made that problem. You made it. It's your issue. And this brings me to the next thing that I was going to say, is how one thing that people don't seem to do as much anymore, and excuse me for saying so, especially the liberals, they refuse to acknowledge their part in a situation. They like to pass the blame, pass the buck. And even Hillary Clinton did it. Now, you know, I've made no secret of the fact that I don't like Hillary Clinton. I never have. I'm glad that Congress is going to continue to investigate her. I think they should, because it shows people that no one is above the law. But she came out the other day, and she said that the reason she lost the election was because of James Comey of the FBI coming out with the letter to Congress, like, what was it, like 10 days before the election. And what she fails to realize is that if she hadn't have been stupid and hadn't have put her server in her house and used it for government documents and government emails and let a maid print out confidential information and lied to various people and used her foundation or even made it look anywhere near that she used her foundation to launder funds or whatever. If she had not done any of those things, they would not be investigating her. Now, I'm sure Trump is no angel either. Most people who get into politics, by the time they are able to function in politics, they've lived a little. And sometimes they've done some dirty things. So I'm sure Trump has done his share. But that's not a concern for me at this point. Unless something major comes up or he does something stupid in the next 4 years. What my concern is that he gets the country back in the direction that his voters want. And hopefully the people who didn't vote for him will start to see that he's not as extreme as they might think. So anyway, I don't want to talk about politics because, you know, the other thing I was going to say is that in the scope of life, politics, it may seem very important, but when you have family members or friends around you that are dying or that are ill, and I don't mean to be morbid here, but it's just not important. Politics are not that important. I mean, you know, yeah, I care about who's president. Yeah, I care about how the country is run. One thing that I've been thinking about is just how much money I need to move back to the United States. How much money do I need to take care of myself and my wife? And will she be able to make any money? How will I be making money? Will I still be able to write and make money? Will I still be able to do photography and make money from it? How am I going to function if we were to move there? And what about my kids? Because I don't think we want to go there at least until they are of age to attend university in the United States. So, you know, that's a couple of years off now. That's about 4 more years. So when the presidency when the term of Trump's presidency comes to an end, unless he gets reelected, that's about the time I got to make a decision. And, you know, there's a lot of factors on whether or not I want to move back to the United States ever. Because I am a firm believer that you can set your life up to be what you want and how you want, you know, but it takes some effort, and this is the thing. And in this place, at this time, I know for sure we're not in a position to just fly over to the U.S., start buying stuff, start setting ourselves up. And the thing for us that we think about, besides the kids, I mean, you know, assuming the kids are able to take care of themselves or that they have jobs, whether it's in the United States or wherever, and they finish university. You're talking about me and my wife. We need to make sure that we'll be taken care of, that we have enough money to, like, basically to retire. And that's, you know, you're talking about a fair amount of money, and who knows what's going to happen with Social Security. So between this, and there are several other factors that I'm taking into consideration, and I did say that I'm going to make a video about this, and I've got a list of what is important. And it might surprise you because the list is actually pretty long. It's about 15 or 20 things that, you know, having to do with taxes and the land rights in certain areas, and just what the weather is like, and are there hurricanes, are there tornadoes, and all these kind of things. What is it, a red state or a blue state? That's become something for me that, you know, I don't want to live in some place like Oregon. As nice as the country is, as nice as the surroundings are, I don't want to live there. And I don't want to live in California anymore. I lived there before. Now, it didn't really affect me before, but I have a feeling it might piss me off now. So I've got this list that I'm working on. And, yeah, you know, so today is the 16th. On the 14th, it was Lori Kwetong. And I didn't do anything. Neither did the kids. We didn't, in fact, I forgot all about it. Not that we normally do a lot. You know, for us, we're always busy. My kids are in school, they're studying. Alex is playing guitar now. They practice a little boxing, a little Muay Thai. You know, my wife is always busy. She's always traveling for work, and I'm always busy doing my thing. So we don't always have a lot of time. So when there's a holiday or we have time off, we basically just veg out around the house. And the older that I have gotten, the less I like to travel. I don't really enjoy traveling long distances anymore. Because it's such a pain in the neck in most cases. You know, like one reason I don't go to the Philippines anymore is not because I don't want to photograph the place. It's because it's such a pain in the neck to get in and out of the airport. I just don't feel like dealing with the whole stress of going through the airport. And then when I can go somewhere else, it's a little bit easier. Well, a lot easier. I don't have to deal with traffic and, you know, just, so I'm, this is the other thing. I said that I'm getting ready to work on some projects. My buddy is back in Bangkok now, and he's only going to be here for a couple of days, and then he's going to the south of Thailand for, I think, about 8 days to scuba dive. And then when he comes back, we're going to start working on some videos. But actually, I think tomorrow or the next day, we're going to put together a video using his drone. Because I've been thinking for a long time about buying a drone. And I think it would be useful to get one. But I'm not sure yet. I really want to fly one. So he's got one. So we're going to make a video about the drone. And maybe we'll fly it over the Huamak Stadium, or, you know, I don't know yet. We're not really sure, but we're going to talk about that probably tomorrow. So, there's a lot of things coming up. I've got some things planned for next year, and hopefully the next couple of months will be better than this past month. But yeah, you know, I just wanted to tell everybody again that, you know, when these kind of things happen, you know, it's like I hesitate to say it's depressing, but it's hard to be happy when people are dying left and right, or at least it seems that way. And I'm starting to feel better. I mean, you know, it's been a couple of days now, but not really. I mean, just a little bit better. You know, I'm. And to see my wife the way that she was, so just so distraught and devastated by it, understandably, it really affected me. And, you know, his death also affected me, but, you know, my kids are sad. Yesterday, I asked Alex, you know, how you doing, buddy? And he's like, I'm fine. I'm sad, but I'm fine. I'm like, well, we're all sad, you know. And, yeah, so that's what's going on. So, Anyway, enough of that joyfulness. Like I said, you know, just please hang in there. There's a lot of stuff going to happen. My buddy and I, my buddy Chuck and I, have talked at length about what we want to do, what kind of projects we want to do. And to be completely honest, I've grown tired of just even vlogging. I mean, I did the 22 vlogs, and a lot of the other videos I did were kind of vlog-like, if not just being straight-up vlogs. But I don't really feel comfortable, and I never have, making videos where I am exposing my life to people. I don't like it. I'm much better, or I feel much better, when I do something and it's more of a little mini documentary. And even if it involves me, the feeling is different. When you go out and you're, hey, I'm, you know, Scott, and I'm going to do this vlog today about the, you know, me going to the store and buying this or buying that, and then I've got to go here and go there and, you know, check this out, you know, look at the fire over there, whatever. You know, after a while, it's a pain in the neck to carry a camera around all the time. And then it gets, it's like, it's too much. It's like, I've never cared about fame or anything like that. Not that I'm famous from YouTube. Maybe I'm a little bit known by some people, but, I've been in a couple of movies. I've been in a documentary, and it's never affected me or made me, think to myself, oh, maybe I'm going to be famous. I don't want to be famous. I could care less. Couldn't care less about it. The only thing I care about is, am I getting paid? And it's not necessarily from the standpoint of some people, which is, well, hey, I'm making videos, you know, you better pay me. It's more along the lines of, I'm taking my time to either give of myself or to give something out of my life, or to show some kind of a perspective into my life. And for that, to me, it's, first of all, I just subscribe. I'm old school, man. It's like, time is money. If I'm doing something and I'm pissing it away and I'm not making any money, there needs to be a reason why. And it has to be a good reason. If I'm helping some kid who, you know, doesn't have a home or something like that, okay, well, that's a worthwhile reason. If I'm helping, like with Bong, I was helping Bong. I wasn't making any money from that, you know? So it's not about the money. It's about being compensated for your time. And so now I'm like, hey, listen, I don't get compensated all that well from from YouTube or Patreon and all these other kind of things. Quite frankly, the membership, I make a little bit more from my membership than anything else, and I'm grateful for that. But it's not like I don't think I even make $500-$600 from everything. Most of the time, I make maybe $500 altogether. So I'm making like $500 to do all these videos, and I'm just like, you know what? I might as well do something that I like to do. So that's what the future holds for me. And on YouTube, quite frankly, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I don't care what if anybody likes it or not. When I'm with the members and with Patreon, okay, I do care, but I have to be true to myself. And so the videos are going to start being a little more informational as far as places, people, topics, issues, that kind of thing, kind of like mini documentaries. And also, they're going to involve photography and my love for photography. So, to me, that's a lot better than me being the Dr. Phil of Asia, which, you know, I never set out to be that, and I really don't want to be. And it might be funny sometimes, but I don't know, especially now, I just feel like it's a waste of time to do those kind of videos. I feel, you know, and one of my buddies has been saying to me, why don't you do something where you interview a bar girl, or why don't you talk to these girls about this or that? And I'm like, you know what? Because I don't want to. I don't want to. I have a family. I don't want to be that kind of a person. I just call me conservative or whatever, but I just don't want to get involved in it. And there are people out there, they make videos, and I think most of them are either single or they got girlfriends, but they're not married with kids. They go out and they make, whether it's undercover videos or just videos in general, about the bar scene, and more power to them. That's the thing. You know, with YouTube and with making videos or taking photographs, people, there's plenty of room for everybody. People can make whatever kind of videos they want, whatever kind of photographs they want. And, you know, that's the thing. With photography, there's a lot of photographs. I don't like them. I don't like overdone, overprocessed photos. I don't like photos of certain things, certain subjects. Doesn't mean I don't think as a photographer the person's good or, that I'm better than them or anything like that. Not by any stretch of the imagination, but there's things I like and things I don't like, and one of the things I don't really like is I just don't want to deal with the bar scene. And some guy asked me the other day, he said how many of the guys who are like married and been living in Thailand a long time still hit the bars and go and hang out with the bar girls? And I was thinking about that. I know one guy who has a girlfriend. He goes out every once in a while to the bars. I don't know if he's still taking girls from there. He used to. I know another guy who he goes to Pattaya once a month. Or his wife is sick, and he goes to Pattaya like once a month. Gets laid, and then comes back. Most of the guys, though, they're married and they don't even, once you're into married life, if you are, I don't know how to say it, but I guess once you get entrenched in married life, your priorities change. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Your priorities change, especially if you got kids. If you got kids, forget about it. It's kind of like, Not that it's not available. I mean, it's just as available as before, but it's more of a pain in the ass. And for me, it's grown far less important than it used to be. I mean, like when I first came here, it was all about running around, nailing every chick I could, and having five on the line at any time, so that there was always one coming in, one going out. But those days are long gone. Not that I have forgotten them, which, some of the younger guys, they think, that because I'm older, I don't know what's going on or whatever. Like the guy that I did the video on, when was it yesterday, I guess? He's talking about how, I don't know if I could, still replicate what you did, which was finding a good girl who wasn't a whore and who I'm happy with. And I understand what he's saying, because Thailand has changed, but bottom line is it's rubbish. If you are patient and you wait, most guys are going to be able to find somebody. They may not be perfect, but they may be able to find somebody. And last but not least, this guy wrote the other day about how, all women are prostitutes. And I always hate that. And the reason I hate it is because what about the women who are working day in and day out? That's what they do every day, every night. Some of them don't even have time to get laid. Some of these Thai girls, man, they go to work. They're up at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. They go to work. They make peanuts. They come home from work. They go out and buy their little 40 baht dinner or whatever. They hang out in their, in their living room, watch TV on a crappy little TV, or some on a nice TV or whatever. Maybe they do some laundry and they go to sleep. And once in a while, maybe they got a guy that they're seeing comes over, they get laid. And they're not asking the guy for money. They're not asking him for anything. There are a lot of women like that. But the trick is, are you going to find a girl who is a taker and who is always asking you for something? Or are you going to take a woman who is willing to do things for herself? And believe it or not, there are Thai women out there, they don't want to just take. They want to pay their own way. They want to earn their own money. They don't need you for money. And, you know, that's the thing, is that most guys, they're so impatient that they won't take the time to weed through the garbage to find something good. So, you know, they get what they get. And some of them are unhappy. They're bitching and moaning about how, my girl's, she's a whore. She's just, well, she wasn't a whore, but, you know, all women are whores. No, they're not. It's the bottom line. You know, how are you going to call a woman a whore who doesn't ask you for any money? You have sex with her all the time. She's not asking anything. And, you know, I mean, I always say that because, first of all, I know my mother contributed greatly to my parents' relationship. Not like, you know, she's like sitting home being a homemaker, never doing anything. And the same thing goes with my wife. She's more than willing to work. She busts her ass. And she still manages to give me enough time to keep me happy. And it's same with my kids, you know. So, and I'm nothing special. It's not that I'm anything better. It's not that I'm not some movie star who's got, you know, loaded down with cash. But I didn't want to settle. I don't want to settle for some chick who I got to take care of all the time and she can't fend for herself. You know, if you can't fend for yourself in life, if you're not able to make a buck, then, you know, what's the point? I mean, basically you're taking care of a kid. Who needs that? Anyway, that's all I got. Listen, my book's going to come out. It should come out in about 10 days or so. So, until next time, I'm Scott. I'm an American in Bangkok. Chok D, La Jerk and Mai.